You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to a special Times Higher Education podcast marking the publication of the 2016 Times Higher Education World Reputation Rankings, which are being formally launched at the British Council's Going Global Conference in Cape Town. My name is John Elms and I'm joined today by rankings reporter Ellie Bothwell. In just a moment, I'll be taking you through the top ranked institutions in the 100 strong list. But before I do, I'd like to ask you, Ellie, why does Times Higher have a world reputation rankings?
Well, our world reputation rankings actually form quite a big part of our overall world university rankings. So it's the results of this ranking will form the flagship ranking that comes out in October 2016. And we're sort of aware that this is, you know, a subjective ranking, but actually, you know, that is still robust. I mean, we invite more than 10,000 top scholars from around the world to name 15 institutions that they believe are top for teaching and research in their field. And we, you know, we choose which scholars we invite and they're from a range of disciplines and a range of countries. And so really it just kind of shows which institutions are considered to be the most prestigious by experts.
So you've kind of touched on the methodology we use for these rankings. It differs from the main world university rankings, does it?
Yes, that's correct. So the world university rankings is based on five pillars. Two of those are teaching and research. And actually the results of the reputation survey are used in those teaching and research pillars along with some other indicators. So the results of the world reputation rankings are key in kind of coming up with an overall rank for the world university rankings. And the way that the institutions are scored is slightly different as well. The top university in the world reputation rankings is given a score of 100. And then all the other institutions are given scores that basically mark a percentage of how many votes they achieved compared to the top university.
Right. Okay, so I think it's probably now time to go on to the top 10 from the 2016 World Reputation Rankings. In 10th place, actually the number one institution in the 2015-16 World University Rankings, the California Institute of Technology from the US. Another US institution, Columbia, is number 9. In 8th place, it's another US institution, Yale University. At 7, we have Princeton University. In 6th, the University of California, Berkeley. In 5th, the University of Oxford, the first institution from the UK. In 4th, it's the University of Cambridge, again from the UK. In 3rd, it's Stanford University. In 2nd, it's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And in 1st place is Harvard University from the US. That's the top 10, Ellie. And from it, you can see a clear dominance, well, two countries representing the top 10, the US and the UK. But besides the top 10, you've been looking at the results a lot more closely, of course. What do the overall rankings tell us about the institutions and the nations that are doing well?
Yeah, so the overall kind of results actually show a picture of Asia rising up the rankings. I mean, Asian institutions have sort of steadily been creeping up the overall world university rankings, and it seems like finally, you know, that this is followed by their sort of increasing reputation. Yeah. Obviously, you know, reputation is a lagging indicator. It can take a long time to shift universities' reputation. But it seems like Asia might just be starting to do that now. In particular, China does really well. China and Japan are sort of leading the nation with 5 universities each, but China has kind of improved much more. South Korea and Hong Kong also do well. They've both gained a university in this year's list compared to last year. On the kind of flip side of that, it seems that actually some countries in Europe aren't actually doing so well. So even though it seems, you know, the UK, obviously Oxford and Cambridge make the top 10, actually, you know, most of the universities in the UK have been slipping. So the UK has 10 universities down from 12 last year, and 7 have lost ground, including Oxford and Cambridge. Also, Denmark and Finland were in last year's list, but both of them have fallen out this year. And Germany and Netherlands universities have slipped down. I mean, part of you kind of looking at this, you kind of have to consider not just these universities' ranks, but their overall scores. Mm. And actually, in some cases, it's not that their overall scores have gone down. They're actually, in some cases, improving or got quite a stable position. But it's just that they're not improving at such a fast rate as those in Asia.
Right.
So it kind of shows just how universities may, you know, need to kind of keep innovating and improving quickly in order to kind of maintain their position in the global higher education landscape, which is becoming more and more competitive.
Sure. And so you've already touched on what the institutions that are rising up the rankings are doing well. What are they doing well? I mean, you've spoken to institutions about what they account for their recent success.
Yeah, I mean, quite a few of them, the people that I spoke to actually cited kind of communication strategy and their complete overhaul of their team. So I spoke to the president of the University of Toronto, Merrick Gertler, who said that the university used to have several sort of vice presidential positions, and he's kind of moved it all under, you know, one position, and they now sort of target media stories to locations where they have lots of alumni. And they've changed their attitude in sharing their stories, so that they, you know, he said they used to be quite defensive and wanted to prevent information from leaking out, whereas now, you know, they sort of lead with their own story and they, you know, they realise that, you know, if they don't tell their story, others will kind of tell it first and might not tell it in the way that they think is, you know, most accurate. I also spoke to the University of Melbourne, And they launched a massive campaign. It was about $4 million Australian dollar campaign to sort of tell the stories of collaboration at university that they feel like has led to their sort of significant research achievements. And they did it in quite an interesting way, where they had they got students and staff to kind of slam their bodies together, and it made shapes that symbolised their research. And it was a video that's been sort of shared really widely online, which is quite unusual for a university campaign. So there are sort of innovative things that universities are doing to improve in this area.
Sure. And you know, you mentioned the rise of Asia, and that's pretty much... Well, not pretty much. In some cases, at the expense of, you know, established global superpowers of HE. I mean, we mentioned the UK has slipped slightly in their positions. What do some of the Asian institutions say about their performance and how well they're doing?
I think Asian institutions kind of recognise that actually their governments have invested heavily in higher education in recent years. And also that a lot of Asian universities are very young and actually have very kind of focused missions and they've been set up to deliver sort of certain missions in a particular area. So, you know, there are several kind of science and technology institutions in Asia that are doing particularly well in their fields. And I think that's something that actually maybe some universities in the Western world or governments rather in the Western world can learn from. You know, Asia has such a heavy investment in higher education, and in the US and in the UK certainly funding for universities has been dropping since the recession, and so maybe this ranking provides a bit of a warning sign of the fact that reputation actually can go down if universities aren't celebrated.
So you've talked about the rise of Asia, and you know, it's clearly the continent is moving up in these world reputation rankings, but you know, the top 10 is still dominated completely by the US and the UK. Do you ever envisage that these institutions are going to break into the top 10, or are those institutions in the top 10 almost set in stone?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the institutions certainly in the top six are pretty set in stone. I mean, we've been publishing this ranking since 2011, and the top six has remained the same. I mean, there have been a few changes within it, but those six universities are kind of, you know, what we've dubbed super brands. And if you look at their scores, you know, even when you go down to the seventh institution, there was quite a big drop in terms of the number of votes. So I think it's unlikely that's going to change anytime soon. But having said that, you know, the University of Tokyo is 12th in the ranking. It's had a kind of stable performance this year. In China, Tsinghua University has made the top 20 for the first time, and Peking University is kind of within the top 30 for the first time. So I think universities in Asia are certainly creeping up. I'm not sure whether they'll make the top 10, you know, in the next kind of couple of years, but I think, you know, it's fair to say that they are rising, and that, you know, universities in the US and the UK are going to have to kind of watch out for that.
And as Ellie mentioned, Tsinghua University moving up, we have an opinion piece from their president, Q Yong. I hope I haven't pronounced that wrong. And along with that, we have other case studies from the region, and one from the US, along with our main rankings, of course, the top 100, and the track records of how institutions have done over the years. Thank you, Ellie, for joining me in this special Times Higher Education World University Rankings podcast to celebrate the release of our 2016 World Reputation Rankings. Until the next time we have one, though, I wish you goodbye.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.